Well, guys, it's London week, but I'll tell you, if the Patriots had lost to the Jets, they would have been royally screwed.
You're right, Fred. Good job.
And it wasn't looking so good, you know, the whole game. Obviously, there were some things that happened toward the end that were a repeat of what we've been seeing in terms of offensively protecting a lead, and defensively, same thing. Even had some hiccups on special teams, just like in Seattle. But unlike against the Seahawks, they were able to make plays in all three phases to come away with a win.
That's why I like it, because it actually tests you as a fan. You're either optimistic that, whew, all right, offense, defense, special teams, in overtime, they got the job done, they won the game. Or you're pessimistic and just look at the end of the game. They blew a lead again. They fumbled a kick. You know, it's how do you look at life?
I'm looking at it both ways. I'm happy that the things that we have said that they haven't been able to do, closing out games, although they kind of blew it, but making those clutch plays at the end, both offense and defense and kicking, they were able to do. But I am no longer going into any game for the rest of the season saying Patriots should win this game handily.
Can I hold you to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So in 6 weeks, when they've beaten like six straight teams by 25 points.
Conditions on the ground may change.
Much like they've changed since the start of the season.
Right,
I'm with Fred.
But as of right now, every game's a dogfight, end of story.
And you know, Fred, there's nothing that says optimism quite like Andy Hart.
Right.
That's the way you should look at it.
Mr. Sunshine.
Yes. No, but we've seen this team turn it on in the second half of the season before. Yeah. I mean, we saw it last
year.
They'll
get better. They
always do. Defense was as bad as it ever was, and you know, they kind of brought it together. But I do think you're right now. You know, things can change, conditions on the ground. But you don't look at any opponent, whether they're 2-4, 3-3. If they have a pulse, they're capable of being.
And that includes the Rams coming up. They're
no
a pretty
question.
Good team. You know, so, but, you know, getting more into the granular level of the game, you know, I think you have to look at, you know, the big story of it is, once again, you go into the fourth quarter with a lead, this time 10 points, and you just can't hold it. And Sanchez goes into the game with less than 50% completion percentage and ends up with almost 70%. There's something about this defense that they just can't stop the pass.
Yeah, the secondary is really struggling. They were missing some guys, obviously, without both safeties. They had to make some changes. I think they went with the best four available.
Yep.
They moved Devin McCourty from corner back to safety with Chung and Gregory both out. I thought you saw some Alphonso Dennard, and I like what I've seen. You know, he got a couple of penalties. He struggled a little bit playing 60 minutes this week, but I still like the way he plays. You know, we've been talking about this for a few weeks now.
And that continues the Ty Law comparison.
I'd rather get a defensive holding call than give up a 15-yard pass without much resistance. And, you know, he's going to figure that out. There's a fine line of how he has to play. Andy talked to him a little bit after the game, and, you know, he was talking about letting him go after five. You know, he still kind of had him, so that's right. Going to be a holding call. But, again, I like the way he played. The rest of it as a whole, they're searching for answers because there are guys wide open. And you said it, Sanchez, 49%. He's up around 70% in this game. And again, a pedestrian at best quarterback is having his best game against New England.
Now, I give the Jets defense credit. They are a good defense. They've got a good defensive coach, and they know the Patriots. So I do give a lot of credit to the Jets defense. They knew what they were doing. But one of the things that they did was, again, that whole thing from the, you know, 2 years ago, really funneling, you know, the Patriots offense to the middle. The answer to that this year was supposed to be Brandon Lloyd. We're not seeing that. We didn't see it in this game.
Well, I think that the thing that
we
really
saw it, he just didn't catch it.
The thing that stuck out to me was more so the running of the ball, because this is not a good run defense that New York has. They allow 150 yards a game on the ground, and the Patriots never really got it going. They had a couple of solid runs with Rareen early. Ridley, I think, had a 12-yarder, but, you know, they're right around 4 yards a carry. They tried to run it a lot. I think they ran it 31 times or somewhere in that neighborhood. They try to get it going. With that amount of runs against the defense that struggles like that one does to stop the run, you would have thought the number would be closer to 170. It didn't happen, and I agree with you. It's not like this is the only time the Jets have ever done this to New England's passing game. They have had success with that funnel system. They were unafraid of getting beaten over the top. They weren't beaten over the top, and consequently, the Patriots' offense struggled.
The one thing I will say, though, is Josh McDaniels is new to this, that matchup with Rex Ryan and that defense,
right,
treating it that way. That was Bill O'Brien in the past, so there's a little, you know, feeling out process there where he's not quite as familiar with it as maybe he should.
Well, you would think over the course of the week, Bill would have said, hey, Josh, they try to funnel things
to
the middle.
There's something to be said for experiencing it.
So,
but I do give the Jets credit for the coverage. You know, you say, oh, Revis is gone. They can't play the defense the way they want to. I thought they did a pretty good job covering. I really thought Welker was going to kill him, and he did not.
Yeah.
They did a good job. Kyle Wilson was involved in it. Isaiah Trufant was involved with it. I thought they did a good job in coverage.
All right, well, next stop, London. Tally-ho.
One of the areas I think the Patriots put a lot of emphasis on during the offseason was finding a way to rush the passer from the inside. And we've talked about how Jermaine Cunningham was moved from an end to a tackle in some of these sub situations. They obviously wanted Jonathan Finene to do this, and it never panned out. But Cunningham has actually given them a spark, and I think it can get even better if Myron Pryor can get off of PUP and get back into the lineup. And I think he's pretty close. I talked to Pryor a little bit last week. He's a guy who's had success rushing the passer from the inside in some of those sub situations. He said that he feels like he's pretty close to coming back from that shoulder problem that had him on PUP. So the Patriots might get a boost on that interior pass rush. Switching over to offense, I thought there were some good signs here as well. Specifically, backup linemen on the inside. Donald Thomas and Nate McDonald, I thought, stepped in at guard and performed pretty well. It wasn't perfect, but considering especially that McDonald had to come in on an emergency situation when Dan Conley couldn't go, I thought they kept the pocket pretty clean for Tom Brady. He was able to move around. There were some problems for sure, but overall, I think you found some depth here on the inside, and that's something heading into the season the Patriots weren't sure they had. So it's a good thing you see Thomas and McDonald out there and performing at a high level. Now, one thing offensively that hasn't been quite as smooth the last couple of weeks is that situation outside the numbers with Brandon Lloyd. I think the Patriots felt they could get Lloyd deep and really work the sidelines a little bit when they picked him up, and it hasn't really gone smoothly with Tom Brady. He's made a lot of catches, but they haven't always looked right. And I think on Sunday, the Patriots tried to go his way 8 times, and it just didn't connect. They're trying to get him deep. He's really not getting open. They're not getting as much separation, I think, as you need to make that happen. So Brandon Lloyd right now has been the one disappointment in the passing game.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Those onesies that you might see, you know, your grandfather wearing.
All the running backs got a onesie. Got to.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
Okay, this week's Images of the Week start with Aaron Hernandez, and while it's always good seeing pictures of him with the ball, not when he's carrying it like that. This next one is that amazing catch by Gronkowski in the end zone. The guy makes it look easy. Finally, you think Bill Belichick was happy after this overtime win?
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
Shane Vereen, how has it been fitting into this offense, into this backfield? It looks like everybody gets a chance to do it this past week against the Jets. You had an opportunity. How did it feel?
It felt good. You know, I think we take a lot of pride in the running back room to take advantage of the opportunities and when our numbers call to step up and do what we can for the team.
When you talk about all the different running backs in that room with Coach Ivan Fears, what's the dynamic like in that room with you guys, with Steven and Danny? And
it's fun. You know, we enjoy it. We try to make, you know, each day fun. We try and, you know, lighten the mood up a little bit when everyone's getting so down with everything that we got going on. But at the same time, we work hard. And when it's time to work, we go to work.
Now, for you personally, there's been some injury problems. Last year, you had the hamstring, and then this year was a little bit of a slow start. But coming on, how do you sort of stay into it mentally and, you know, make sure you're ready to go when you do get your opportunity?
Yeah. I don't have a choice but to stay in it mentally. That way, when I do get the opportunity, you know, I'm ready to go and I'm prepared. And I think that's the main thing that's kept me going and that's kept me so involved.
Talk to me a little bit about this offense and what it's like for a running back. You guys do a lot of different things. You have a lot of different personnel groups. You go a lot of hurry up. Are you comfortable with all the different aspects? And what's it like for a running back to be a part of all those different things?
Yeah, I like it. I think it keeps the defense on their heels and it gives us an advantage. As a running back, you know, you have your role. And just like in any offense, and our role is, you know, to pass protect, to block, to run, to catch. And with the hurry-up offense, we do all of that.
Now, for you personally, coming from Cal and in Coach Tedford's system, which was kind of an NFL-type system, I would imagine a lot of these things sort of lend themselves to things that you have experience with.
Yeah, definitely. The offenses are very similar in a lot of ways. Terminology is completely different, but the concepts and the ideas are pretty similar.
Now, we've seen Stephen Ridley walking around this locker room with some interesting attire at times. He has those onesies that you might see, your grandfather wearing, on a cold winter's night. Does he try to pass those off on you guys at all?
Oh, yeah. We all got one. All the running backs got a onesie. Got to.
Is he invested in the company? Tell the truth. Is he making some money off this stuff?
No, not at all. Not that I know of, anyway. But they're fun. And like I said, we like to switch it up sometimes, just have a good time. And that's and he does a good job of doing that.
We all know by now the Patriots have a big problem with big plays. They've allowed 39 pass plays of 20 yards or more this season. 6 last week against Mark Sanchez and the Jets. Doesn't get any easier in London. The Rams have a rookie receiver named Chris Givens. Only has 10 catches on the year, but each of the last 4 weeks he's had a catch go for 50 or more yards. Patriots secondary needs to be on point shutting down the big plays, and it starts with a guy named Chris Givens. Jumping to the other side of the ball, Tom Brady and company have to deal with a young defense that's pretty darn good for St. Louis. Ranked 10th in the NFL in overall defense, they have young playmakers up front and in the back end. That means the tackles need to get up for another challenge from the pass rush. Robert Quinn, Chris Long, one of the best young defensive end duos in the NFL, 11 sacks between them. Nate Solder has done a very good job of late working into his spot at left tackle. Sebastian Vollmer, though still clearly limited physically, doing the job on the right side. They have to meet the challenge again this week up front. New England's trip to London is a business trip, not a vacation, but on the horizon. The Patriots have the bye week right dead smack in the middle of the season, and they need it. This is a banged-up football team. The offensive line, we saw it last week with two guys having to fill in. We saw it in the secondary. McCourty had to move to safety. We see all the skill position players, Hernandez, Gronkowski, Welker, Lloyd, they're all dealing with something. But they can't look ahead too far to the bye. They need to beat the Rams first so that they can head into that relaxation period with a good feeling.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I think he's been better this year than last. I do.
But you think he's looked good?
Marginally. I didn't say good. I said better.
Okay, so no,
I don't mean word.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
Well, I certainly have a midseason mea culpa to make. I thought after a great rookie season, Cam Newton was going to have an even better second season. Maybe even the league's MVP. Boy, was I wrong. He's having a terrible season, and so are the Carolina Panthers. And it really hit bottom this week. After another bad loss, Cam Newton stood in front of the press and said he had no idea what was wrong. He's going to put out a suggestion box, and people can put in their suggestions. That's not what a leader does. His team is looking to him for answers. And the answer should be, as cliche as it sounds, we just need to work harder, and that's what we're going to do. Because that's what leaders do. Then you go behind closed doors, and you make it happen. Cam Newton, just not a leader, and certainly not an MVP.
Not a lot to smile about for the Baltimore Ravens last week in Houston. They got killed, but there was one positive thing that came out of it, and that was the return of Terrell Suggs. Less than 5 months after an Achilles tear, he has surgery. He's back on the NFL field. I got to tell you, I tore my Achilles in an old man basketball league, and it took me over a year to get back to that. And I'm an elite athlete, as you can tell. For Suggs to be on the field so quickly, I think, was truly remarkable. And a lot of people are burying the Ravens because of that effort in Houston. Well, I'll tell you, guys like Suggs will not allow the Ravens to die easily. Do not count Baltimore out just yet.
Jerry Glanville once famously said on NFL Films that NFL meant not for long, and we're seeing that more than ever. Everything changes from week to week, month to month, year to year like never before. Matthew Stafford was great a year ago, 5,000 yards, 40 touchdowns. This year, 5 touchdowns, 6 picks through 6 games. He's terrible. Cam Newton was going to be the MVP, the star of the league as a rookie. It's all falling down around him in Carolina. Now there's questions, should they even keep him? Is he the man moving forward? Every single week, as there's a new team, it's the Niners. They're the best team in football. They're going to roll to the Super Bowl until they get undressed at home by the Giants. The NFL changes quicker than any other sport, and that makes what Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have done consistently more impressive each and every week.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
There's been a lot of movement in the Patriots secondary, but where does Devin McCourty fit best?
I know everybody wants to paint the picture that Devin McCourty is the solution in the backfield moving to safety, but I didn't see it at the end of last year, and I didn't see it this week. If I missed something, they had six plays of 20 or more yards this week, just like they've been doing all year long. And the bottom line is, when they're healthy, Devin McCourty is one of your best four defensive backs, and he needs to play corner. That's why he was a number one pick. He was drafted to be a starting number one Pro Bowl corner in the NFL. That's his position. That's where he needs to be when they're healthy.
Yeah, the problem is they're not healthy, and they're going to need some help back there. And it looks like they're going to be dealing with some issues at safety. And the reason I think that you move McCourty and you make this move is because I think Alphonso Dennard has sort of forged himself into the lineup here. I think he needs to play, and I'm not sure that he's versatile enough.
He plays over Arrington.
Yeah, but I don't think he's experienced enough to play in safety and corner. I think you can do that with McCourty. And you're right, it's not going to be a quick fix, and it's not going to make everything perfect. But I think McCourty is actually better at safety than he is at corner. I think there is something to the cliche of him having his face, you know, looking at the ball instead of always chasing. I think he was getting caught too many times chasing his receiver. And here, I think
at safety. So how many plays did he make on the ball against the Jets?
Listen, it was the first game that he played this year.
No, he played safety there last year.
He played some last year, and I thought things did get a little bit better down the stretch. That might have been circumstantial because of the quarterbacks they
played. Terrible quarterbacks.
But be that as it may, it did get better. It didn't get better on Sunday against the Jets. We'll find out when Gregory and Chung can get back on the field together, and we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Right now, we don't have to do it. It's coming in a week or two. You know it's coming.
I'm not going to lie to you, Andy. I'm very much intrigued by Dennard, and I want to see if he can play.
This isn't about Dennard. He'll get to play opposite McCourty. You have to have two corners on the field minimum at all times. Sometimes you can have three.
I like McCourty at safety for one reason. I think that you can better take advantage of the things that he does well. And to me, that's tackling and keeping plays in front of him. I don't think he was doing that as much at corner.
First of all, he tackled fine at corner. Every time he gave up a completion, he tackled the guy.
Yeah, I know. I don't want him giving up completions.
And you can be a good tackler at the end of
the line of scrimmage. I want to maybe get some plays out of him.
That's just as valuable, setting the edge.
Listen, this is no sure thing. I'm not going to pretend to be, you know, the defensive backfield coach here with all kinds of experience. It just seems to me that Devin McCourty has been more comfortable playing safety than corner.
In like three games? He's got no snaps there.
In a perfect world, you're right. He stays at corner and plays well, but he hasn't played well for 2 years.
He looks pretty comfortable at corner.
Yeah, but so he has more NFL action,
comfortable at corner. I think he's been better this year than last. I do.
But you think he's
marginally
looked good?
Marginally. I didn't say good. I said better.
Okay, so he's not.
Words.
No, I'm not. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's played well.
The issue is, if you put him at safety, you're giving up on the corner thing. You're saying, you're not a corner. We drafted you as a corner in the first round. You were a Pro Bowler as a rookie in the first round. In your first year, you were a captain as a corner, but we're pulling the plug on that. You're not good enough. And, by the way, it means now we're playing more of the other guys. Arrington, who everybody wants to run off the field. Dennard, I'm with you. I want to see more of Dennard. He can start opposite McCourty. But I don't want to see more of Sterling Moore, do you? I mean, you have all these guys that were undrafted or low draft picks. You have a first-round pick. You need to find a way to get him to look like a first-round pick at corner, not take the easy way out. So you're a safety now.
Well, this is me pulling the plug on McCourty at corner. I've seen enough.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama.
All right, it's question time on the show. These are the ones that you sent to AskPFW at Patriots.com. But first, as always, the Wilson Hart Index.
We're starting to settle into midseason form here, Fred. Top five teams, the same as they were a week ago. The only change being the Texans actually jump back up into the number two spot, but the Falcons stay in the number one spot. Patriots stay at number seven, kind of squeaked out a win. Packers actually leapfrogged over them into the sixth spot, though. So sort of the cream of the crop starting to rise in the NFL. I find interesting down the bottom, where the rankings, you have the Chiefs in dead last, but a significant drop-off to the last spot. There are a lot of teams ranked basically 17 through 30. A win here or there is really going to shake it up.
Tony writes in. He says the secondary is getting worse, even if that's possible. Against the Jets, several passes. You didn't see a defender within 10 yards. They're actually hideous. They made Mark Sanchez, a bad quarterback, look good. Do you agree with that?
Was there a question?
Yeah, there's really no question there. But I guess the question is it remotely possible that they're even worse than last year?
It's possible. I don't think they are. I think once you see, A, some help come back with a guy like Steve Gregory getting back in the mix, that allows McCourty to stay at corner. Dennard looks like he's progressing. I want to see more from him each week. That would allow your starting corners to maybe be Dennard and McCourty, Arrington coming off the bench. I think you have reason to think they could get better over the second half of the season. That said, I agree generally with what he said. It's been pretty bad so far, but I do think injuries and the rotation, the fact that they've had to change personnel so often, some out of injuries, some out of choice, they need to set a, you know, five or six deep at corner and safety and go with it and see if it can work out late in the year.
All right, Alex writes in, and he was a little bit surprised by some of Tom Brady's comments. You know, he does that weekly radio interview, and he said, you know, things like it's only October and maybe we spoiled some people. What do you think about that, Paul?
Well, some of the stuff post-game, I'll admit, caught me a little bit off guard. He was asked about, you know, if the team had an identity yet on offense, and he paused and said, I don't know. And that, to me, you know, almost halfway through the season was a bit alarming, and I would think that you would have a better idea of what you are at this stage of the season. But at the same time, I think he was being honest, and I don't think he's necessarily saying that, you know, I don't know what we're going to do, you know, in the last half of the season. They're still figuring out what they do best, and I think it really comes down to finishing out the games. They want to figure out how they want to go about finishing games. Andy has been a big proponent of, if you want to run the ball and you want to be a physical running team, you have to work at it, and you have to keep doing it, because you can't just do it magically by flipping a switch at the end of the season. So I think that's causing some of that uncertainty. But I don't necessarily look at it as a sign that Tom Brady was lacking leadership. I think what he's talking about is sort of still searching for exactly how they want to go about business.
And remember, he was a guy that he was very clear on what their identity was last year. And inside the hash, inside the numbers passing game,
right,
that couldn't play outside the numbers and didn't have a great running attack to complement it. He talked all offseason about wanting to add to that with a guy like Lloyd, add to the running game. Well, they're doing that, and they haven't hit their stride in that just yet. That's why they lack an identity.
And let's face it, we are spoiled, right?
Yeah.
The bar here is higher than anywhere else in the NFL.
I'm not.
All right, that's the question.
I expect greatness and nothing else.
Send yours to askpfw@patriots.com.